Don't have time to read that research paper you saved? Chelsea and Olivia want to help you out. We know how it is. That's why we read it for you. Welcome to the Exercise Science Too Long Didn't Read podcast.
Hello.
Welcome. It's part three.
Part three? Of what?
Of, oh no, it's not. Just kidding. I screwed it up.
Today we're actually going to be talking about rate of perceived exertion.
What is that?
Well, it's your rate that you perceive exertion.
I can't even make a Captain Obvious joke because I still don't really understand what that... I know what perceived means and I know what exertion means, but it's very subjective. It bothers me.
The best comparison that I can make is the pain scale. Everybody knows that pain scale in the ER, right? Mm. So they go in and they have like all of the angry faces and it's from 0 to 10. They're like, how much is your pain on the 0 to 10 scale? And you're like, a 10. And they're like, is it? So that's this.
It is more helpful when there's descriptions. Like if the middle is, this is what this might feel like, then that helps me gauge where I fall in. I tend to underreport. I'm one of those people.
And there's definitely people that consistently underestimate. But today we're going to be talking a little bit about Gunnar Bork because of his recent passing. And we're going to be talking about the RPE. And so hopefully by the end of the episode, you and my sister will understand a little bit more about RPE so that you can use it with exercise.
You know what? I'm optimistic.
Good.
I feel prepped and ready to be learned.
Learned.
Yes. I are smart. Well, that brings us to Mr. Gunnar Bork. Who is that, would you say? He was not a character from Star Trek Next Generation. Although resistance is futile, might fit into this discussion today. We'll find out. Resistance to listening to me tell you. Here we go. Anyway. So Gunnar Bork, we pulled this info from the ACSM website. It was published by Pantaleimon. Ekakakis, PhD, FACSM, FNAK, on February 18th, 2020, which was right after his death, or right after Borg's death, rather, at age 90. So Gunnar A.V. Bork was born November 28th, 1927 and passed away on February 2nd, 2020. I mean, 92, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
It's all that perceived exertion.
He perceived that 92 was enough.
I would too.
I'm out, y'all. He studied in the field of psychophysics. You know, oh, not that psycho?
No, not
She's
that psycho.
She's looking at me like, no, not that one. He studied in the field of psychophysics, which is the study of physical and mental relationships to stimuli.
Mm.
Sometimes I definitely feel overstimulated.
Yes.
There can be a lot of devices and noise and things. It's very too much. During the later 1950s and early 60s, his research was in relation to an equation that was put out by a Stanley Smith Stevens in 1957. And that equation is sensation equals stimulus raised to the power of N, which led to stimuli-like exercise exertion. Bork later proposed another equation, which was R equals A plus C, parentheses, S minus B, close parentheses, to the power of N, where R is the magnitude of the perpetual response, S is the stimulus intensity, A and B are constants indicating the starting point of the function, and C is a proportionality constant, and N is the exponent. That was a lot of math.
That was. It's a lot easier to look at than it is to say it.
That's true. It's difficult. Do I say the parentheses? Do I just say multiplied? We don't know. So we said don't. It. If you could see what my eyeballs could see, well, if you Google it, you can.
We'll have it in the show notes.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
So it kind of just sounds like he looked at somebody's work and said, that's good. I'm going to do you one better. Or at least I'm going to expand what you've done.
Which is what research is for.
That's true. RPE was first recommended as a guide in monitoring and regulating exercise intensity in the third edition of the ACSM guidelines for exercise testing and prescription in 1986.
Man, ACSM is younger than I think it is.
And I was 3.
You're older than I think it is.
At some point during 86, I turned 3.
Mm-hmm.
Something to keep in mind when using the scales board cautioned is not to take the presumed correspondence between a rating on his 6 to 20 RPE scale and heart rate too literally. He said the meaning of a certain heart rate value as an indicator of strain depends upon age, type of exercise, environment, anxiety, and other factors. I kind of like that. He seems to have said, look, the scale is helpful, but there's a lot of things at play here. So, you know, use it as a guide or a tool, but don't necessarily take it as canon or something.
Yes. And I tell people that all the time. Like, don't take the numbers too seriously. Because, I mean, the scale was originally invented or designed to be, if the numbers are multiplied by 10, it's your generalized heart rate. That's always the word I use. Generalized heart rate from 60 to 200. So if it was taken too literally, then a lot of people would never get to a 6, which is no exertion, because they would always be at 8.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, when my heart rate's in the 160 to 170s, I'm out of breath. I feel very exerted.
Yeah, so you're probably at like 16, 17, which is the idea of where it should be. So why is RPE important?
I don't know. Tell me.
Well, apparently it's very important because it's used in almost everything.
Does that make it important, or does that just make it
common?
Common.
Yeah.
Useful.
I think it's useful, but I think it's very important that people understand it in order for it to be useful.
That's fair.
So that's why I did it for my thesis when I was in college, because...
You did?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I was there.
I was confused by the RPE scale because we were learning all of these exercise testing procedures, and then they'd be like, okay, we also need to record RPE. And I'm like, what is that? Why are we using that? I don't know what number to rate myself on this 6 to 20 scale or the 0 to 10 scale or whatever. And so because I am the way that I am, I questioned it and I wanted to find answers. So I started.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's more, I need, what's been our buzzword at work lately? Goalposts. I need goalposts. I need mm-hmm. limits. I need constraints. I need to know what my range is.
Yes.
Is one, like, I'm doing great. I'm sitting on the couch in my pajamas. And 20 is, I'm no longer breathing and I'm going to die. Or is 20 just like, man, I'm really out of breath and this is going like a very heavy, hefty workout.
Yeah.
I need to know these things.
Yes, exactly. So,
And they didn't give you any of that?
Not really.
Rude.
I mean, they gave me some information, basic information, but I still didn't understand it.
You were not learned.
Not in that, which is fine. But that's why education on this is very important to me. So hopefully once you learn what you learn in this episode about RPE, you will expand your knowledge and spread it to others.
Like a virus.
Ooh, let's like, not, is that too soon?
Hashtag too soon.
So RPE is a great tool. It is. You can use it to keep track of training. You can use it to make sure that on the days that you're working light, you're actually working light, and the days that you want to work hard are the days that you actually work hard. And you can keep track of those things in a journal over time, which I think is helpful for training, just like your sets and reps and your times and your PRs. So there are different scales out now since Gunnar Borg originally came out with his scale. The 6 to 20 scale is the OG. It was developed in 1960 by Gunnar Borg himself. It was his dissertation in psychophysiology. So his studies were originally done with cycling or a recumbent bike, I mean. Hmm. So he looked at recumbent bikes and he just got a bunch of people to come in and he tested their VO2 and he did all of this testing and he tested these different scales, what did he call them? He called them not sight words, anchors.
Mm.
He called them anchor words or anchor phrases. So that's your somewhat hard, your vigorous, your no exertion that you see on the scale.
Okay.
And then later in 1982, he developed the CR10 scale, which is the category ratio scale. And that one is your 0 to 10 scale that was later developed into your 0 to 10 pain scale, your 0 to 10 shortness of breath scale, and a bunch of other scales that are now commonly used. And the Omni scale is another one that's commonly used. The Omni scale is a 0 to 10, and it uses pictures. So it's the one that people normally associate with smiley faces.
Oh.
Or the man running uphill and it looks consistently harder as he's going up this hill from the 0 to 10 scale. So this Omni scale was originally developed in around 2001 and has since expanded into different pictures. It was originally done for Japanese children, I believe, or I think it was Japanese children, and someone, you know, saw it, they liked it, and they were like, we should make one of these for adults. And so now they have weightlifting ones, they have running ones, they have children,
variety of graphic pictorial representations.
Yes, that was well worded, my friend. Boom. Done.
Welcome to my TED talk.
So those are kind of the scales that I wanted to talk about today. Do you have any questions, Chelsea, about the scales, how to use them?
I mean, no.
No?
I like the pictures one. I'm very visual. My fiance has told me a story about an old friend of his that would only order items from the menu that had a picture.
Nice.
And I thought about it being kind of funny at first, and then I realized that that's really not a bad way to kind of go through life, because at least you can point to, well, that was what I was expecting. But if you're reading about some chicken and pasta dish, but it comes and it's like, I don't know, some leaning tower of pasta with just this tiny little nugget of chicken on top. You know, the visual doesn't quite fit in your mind based on the description that you read.
That's so true.
Pictures, it feels safe. It gives me that framework to live within that I mentioned earlier that I need. Yeah, I think I like that one best.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Well, you know, my favorite's the OG, the 6 6 to 20. I almost said 60 to 20. Woo! The 60 to... Yeah, did it again.
You went from almost doing it to actually doing it. Good job.
The 6 to 20 scale is my favorite, as we all know. So my thesis study, what I looked at was the anchor words. I looked at how accurate can a person be, an older individual, with using the RP scale with exercise. So it was really fun. It was really interesting. And I found that age is a factor. Age is a factor in the sense of, are you comparing yourself to who you are today and how hard you're working today? Or are you comparing yourself to how hard you may have been working 50 years ago?
Oh, it's the whole, like, I'm not 20 anymore.
Exactly.
Like, I could do these things when I was younger, but now it's just real hard.
When I was doing my interviews, a lot of the older gentlemen would say, this exertion, I want to say the somewhat hard exertion, or the 15, which is hard exertion, reminded them of working in the grain elevator in the middle of July. Oof. Several of them specifically brought up working in the grain elevators when they were younger. And I thought it was interesting that not only did more than one person bring up the same activity for a consistent number on the 6 to 20 scale, but it was just that, like, women would be comparing things like, I'm going for a walk in the park. And then they'd be like, oh, and this one is like if I'm playing with my grandkids. Mm. So they were thinking more current, whereas men were thinking a broad spectrum of their whole life activities that they would compare it to.
What's interesting too is with the men, I mean, if you're getting people from the same geographic area, then that still fits, because there's going to be typically the same kind of jobs available, especially in the past, for similar age groups. So, but that's interesting that they all kind of picked that.
Mm-hmm. I found that interesting. But my study, I don't remember it found any significance in the differences. I'd remember that there was a strong effect size, though, for the group that had more of a detailed description. Whenever I provided more description for each of the leggers of the 6 to 20 instead of skipping a few.
You gave them bumpers for their bowling lane?
Sure, yeah. So I found that people basically, my conclusion is that people basically need more education on how to use a scale, what the scale is intended, levels are intended for, on intensity. So just make sure to educate yourself. Make sure that when you're thinking 6 to 20, it's 60 to 200. So for some people, a 9 might be a leisurely walk in the park. Some people, a leisurely walk in the park might be a 12. But that also depends on fitness level, their anxiety, and a bunch of other stuff.
Does the park have a lot of hills?
Right.
Is it windy?
There's a lot of factors.
Is it humid Midwest summer? Is it real windy? I mean, when you're a tall but small human like I am, the strong middle of the country wind can be quite a challenge.
It can.
To stay upright. I have to exert more of my force against the wind to propel myself forward through it. Can get a little rough.
And you, for you professionals out there, there's actually a set of instructions that Gunnar Board wants you to read to people before you use it with them.
Hmm.
So if you're doing research and you're collecting RPE, I recommend that you definitely read that script to each one of your participants. It's about half page length with your Times Roman 12-point font.
What I think is interesting, too, is since you were talking to older adults, you mentioned that it really seemed like age was a factor. I think you almost corroborated what Mr. Borg was, all of his recommendations. Like you said, if you're doing something on the scale pre-knee surgery and post-knee surgery,
mm-hmm.
you know, your knee's gonna feel a bit better afterward, less pain. It's not as hard mentally to do that same sort of, whether it's a walk or whatever.
So yeah.
You might end up having a more positive. And I mean, you're right. The more I think about the mood part, anxiety.
It's real.
Anxiety is very problematic. It just, it can increase your heart rate just by itself. So then anything you do after that's already kicked in. I mean, think about if you drink your coffee too quick and then you try to go do something, like, you're already flying. So I don't know. It fits. It makes sense to me.
Well, good.
You know what I think that shows? And maybe that leaves room for some sort of future combination of the scales. But yeah, I think that's probably why I like the pictures better, is it's that association.
Definitely.
So you're associating a feeling to an action, or a feeling to an activity, or a feeling to a feeling. I mean, pretty much. And I think, again, it's about the guardrails. We need a lot of us need direction. We need to understand, kind of back to the anxiety too. It's you get worried and, well, what is it I'm supposed to do?
Yes.
What is it you want to hear from me? And it's hard to just throw something out there. And especially if you're involved in a study, you know, you want to be helpful. You're participating. You don't want to say something that's going to be completely off, especially when you're just in a state of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it was hard. 6, 12.
That's how I felt in school.
Like, I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, and that was kind of my goal with my thesis, was that association construct. I mean, because the anchor words, they have the association, but not for each level of the scale, because you have your no exertion, you're very light, you're light. I think it goes straight into somewhat hard, hard, very hard to maximal.
So you can pick something in between those.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your guide to how it increases or decreases.
Yes. So my thoughts were just, there should be something at each level.
Yeah. What does hard mean? Hard means out of breath, or is hard just where you're breathing heavy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Again, we need to not tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
Because if not, it's just going to be chaos. Because everybody's going to be doing different things. And then your data's all over the place. And then you don't know what it's telling you. I don't know.
So you can comment and use the hashtag ESTLDR mm-hmm. on our Instagram and let us know how you do with your using your RPE scale from now on.
Are you hashtag Team Borg or hashtag Team Omni?
Or CR Borg?
No, nobody's that one.
No. Okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm sure somebody is.
Well, Chelsea, did you learn anything?
I did.
You did? Good. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Laters.
Thank you for listening to the Exercise Science TLDR podcast show. If you want to hear more from us, please write a review and subscribe. Join us online at exerciscienctldr.com. Remember, if it's too long and you didn't read it, we read it so you don't have to.